Live from the Regis Suites in Phoenix, Arizona. You're listening to Understanding Autism, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Paul Loudon, all the way from Houston, Texas. How are you, Paul?
Doing all right, thank you.
And I'll just make one comment. It is hot out here.
It's pretty hot, yeah.
You probably got off the plane and said, wait a minute, am I in an oven, a furnace, or what?
We noticed before we got off the plane. I mean, we were heating up taxiing, and it's pretty warm here. It was, like 107 yesterday.
Yeah, I can imagine, and the humidity also is a bit high. And, of course, we have Kim Isaac somewhere in Chandler. How are you?
Hi, I'm doing well. How are you?
Oh, good. Is it hot in Chandler as well?
It is. It is.
I bet it is. Maybe a little cooler. You are one of the lucky few living in Chandler. So you got a good show today, huh, Kimberly?
Yes, we have a great show. I'm really excited to have our guest today. We have Becky Lorenz and Terry Walden from Columbia, Missouri. And they are two moms who've, you know, pioneered this amazing foundation to help people on the spectrum to develop skills for employment. And so we have them on the line. Becky, Terry, are you there?
Yes, this is Becky. I'm right here.
Hi, welcome to
Terry.
The show. Thank you so much for being with us. We're really excited to have you. So maybe you can just tell listeners a little bit about yourselves, you know, who you are and what you're doing.
Kim, this is Becky, and I'm the parent of a 22-year-old son on the autism spectrum. His name is Nick, and Nick has a lot of capabilities that probably haven't been recognized over the years. When he graduated from high school last year, actually, he didn't really have a good place to go, and so I started looking and trying to figure out a place that would fit his skills and be a way for him to become an independent, employed individual. And that's what started me thinking about what we ultimately are now calling Encircle Technologies.
That's great. And Terry, can you tell us a little bit about yourself?
I'm a mother of a 19-year-old young adult with autism. And we also were looking for options that kind of fit him. And, you know, I would Google late at night trying to think, what's after high school for this talented guy who loves, you know, to be on his computer. But the four-year college model and, you know, some of the other job programs that he could go into just didn't seem to fit. So I knew that there are other parents out there looking for the right place for, you know, their son or daughter. So that's how I got involved with Encircle.
So the two of you came together and had, you know, sort of similar needs and stories. And so I guess tell us, what is Encircle Technologies? Maybe you can explain that for listeners.
Okay. Could you hold on 1 minute? We have some feedback on our phones, so what we're going to do is just use one phone with a speaker. Okay?
Oh, okay. Okay. Well, then I'll just give listeners a little bit of insight. I actually know Becky very well, and, you know, working with families who have older children on the spectrum, it's really difficult to find resources post-high school. And so I remember, you know, talking with her a lot, you know, kind of brainstorming and researching, and not just her, but a lot of the other families I work with, and I think it's a big question on people's minds is, you know, what happens after high school? What is there for my child? This is, you know, my adult child who, by societal standards, is expected to be, you know, doing more adult things, you know, in terms of their chronological age. But, you know, a lot of times these guys need a little bit extra support, a little bit of a different model. And I know that Becky and, you know, Terry have, you know, have the inside scoop on that, living with their kids and understanding their strengths and what they need and, you know, having that passion to create something for them to, you know, use their strengths and to have employment and have a quality of life. So is your line working better now?
Yeah, we're good. We're going to use one We're sitting here together. So as we go off, as we do our work, we're in circles. So one of the things that I think we both were doing was looking at the strengths of our son and finding that to be often technology-related in terms of being on the computer a lot, being able to surf the web, being able to create things on the computer, and looking at how can we harness their specific abilities. And that's when we started thinking about what kind of programs are out there that might be something we could model after. And we started searching, and Terry went to Nonpareil Institute in Plano, Texas, and I visited the Exceptional Mind Studio in Los Angeles. We were aware of a lot of things that have been in the news recently, such as the Special Listern company, and we started, you know, thinking, what about these great ideas? Can we pull together and do something in our community here in the Midwest? So what we're really focusing on is helping the students learn skills that are going to help them obtain jobs, hopefully, in the technology world. And so we've kind of focused our curriculum on that. We've only been open not quite a year now, and we're really sort of learning as we go. And it's been a great process for us.
So how did you start the process? I mean, I know there are a lot of parents out there who have older children on the spectrum. I mean, what was the first thing you did? I mean, aside from collaborating with each other, you know, how did you go about this, the process of setting this up?
Yeah, I mean, it definitely involves, like, you know, the atmospheric vision and the big dreams along with the nuts and bolts of, oh, my goodness, we have to do this, and what is it going to take to get this rolling on the ground? And so we really just thought we've got to kind of gather some resources and do a little bit of research as far as what is needed in our local community as far as tech jobs. And, you know, we're a microcosm of a larger community of technology opportunities out there. So we felt like we really needed to talk to a lot of people, especially computer people and business people in our community. So after consulting with parents to make sure that this was something that we had, you know, parent support and enthusiasm about, we started just to meet a ton of people. And we worked through our economic development office, and they introduced us to a lot of business owners and computer tech people. And, gosh, we have, like, a big basket of business cards right now. So we gathered information, we built relationships, and then I'll let Becky tell you a little bit more.
Yeah, one of the things, you know, in terms of just starting a process like this and really not, you know, Terry and I, neither one had any experience in doing this. Terry is a teacher, and I'm a physician by training. So we had different skill sets going into it, and we really thought, we want to do this right from the beginning. And one of the things we felt like we needed to do was to talk to all the interested people, you know, to look at all the stakeholders in this process. And so literally that started out with us meeting with our local parent groups, the public school system, and then, as Terry mentioned, the business community. And we literally have been knocking on doors all over town and just sort of getting a feel for what people are looking for, what the jobs are, how willing will people be to support us, which, you know, included, you know, the school system and their experience, knowing that some of the folks we would be working toward would be coming up through transition. And that gave us a really good idea of what we needed in our community. And then, as I mentioned, we went outside of Missouri and looked at other programs to see what they were doing, what had been successful for them. And putting it all together, we decided that we were ready to start a pilot program. We didn't want to commit to saying, you know, okay, this is the way we're going to do it. We're going to be inflexible. We're not going to change because we know how that works. and so we started with three students in my basement in September last year with a local web entrepreneur and Terry and I doing some soft skills classes, and that's kind of how we started. And we've evolved since then, and we now are offering, this summer we're offering 4 classes, and we have 7 students, and in the fall we'll be offering 6 classes, and we're not sure of our enrollment yet for fall.
That is so great. I mean, one of the messages I sort of have taken away from all the work that you've put into Encircle Technologies is, you know, I talk to a lot of parents of older kids, again, who feel very stuck, and I hear about what you two have done, and it's very inspiring, and I'm just hoping that, you know, there are parents out there that, you know, feel like these things are possible. I mean, obviously, it takes a tremendous amount of work, but it's pretty, I would suspect, it's pretty amazing to feel like this is something you've created for your kids. Your standards have been set on this. You know, the desires you have for your children, you've been able to put into this. And I just think that would be really inspiring, you know, to parents out there. And also, it sounds like you guys have had a great deal of support. People have been willing to participate. I mean, were you surprised by that? Or how, I mean, from what I know, it seemed to come about like fairly well for you guys. So if you have any thoughts on that, I'm sure other parents out there are very interested.
Yeah. It's been interesting because, you know, we really were kind of investigators into the business community, but we felt like that there we met a ton of support. And so, you know, it's almost like people kind of fell into place as we needed them. And so that kind of reaffirmed to me that, you know, this was just something that was meant to be, that there was a gap there that was, you know, needed to be filled. And so, you know, we met a dad who also works in technology at a nice business here in town, a fast-growing business here in town. And he has become a board member. He's become an instructor. He helps us with our curriculum. He has ties into the, you know, the technology sector more so than we do. And so, you know, in that regards, we have kind of met the right people at the right time. You know, the businesses have been supportive. And like I said, and service agencies in town who also help with folks on the who are autistic, they also have been very welcoming. And, you know, we still have inroads to make within our own community. And there's no, you know, it's not always just downhill because there's definitely work to put into it and there's definitely people you need to convince. And we definitely, you know, we're from the Show Me State, so we have to show people that, you know, what we're doing is valid. And so we want to make it, you know, a worthwhile endeavor that, you know, with valid, like, you know, work records and training markers and things like that. So
you had to develop some, what you're saying is you, because I'm curious, like, one of the things on our show that's really important is we kind of talk about going beyond autism awareness and really providing understanding and helping, you know, we're helping the community to really understand autism. And was that something that you included in the materials that you presented to these people?
Well, this is Becky again, Kim. Well, one of the things I think that we started with was just we started from ability, and we really just talk about ability, and we don't talk about what anyone can't do. We talk about what people can do. And just coming from that place that really allowed us to expand the groups that we talk to, maybe not your typical groups that would be interested in people who might be on the autism spectrum, but, you know, like Terry said, the business community was extremely open to that. And so we talk about autism, but we talk about it in terms of ability.
I think that's great, and I want to talk more about that, but why don't we take a short break, and when we come back, let's talk about the abilities of those on the spectrum and how you're using that and incorporating that into the programs that you're doing with Encircle Technologies. So you're listening to Breakthrough Thinking's Understanding Autism Radio Show, and we'll be right back. Thank you.
Birenbaum and Spien PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Birenbaum and Spien works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Heinzen & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Heinzen & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Understanding Autism live here at the Regis Suites in Phoenix, Arizona. We have people everywhere on the line today. Paul Alden and myself, Dave Isaac, is in Phoenix. Kimberly in Chandler and Becky and Terry from Encircle Technologies in Missouri. So, Kim, let's get it back to you. This is very interesting and enlightening. Good questions. And is Kim there? Hello, Kim. I guess
Here I am. Before the break, we were talking about the concept of sharing the abilities of people on the spectrum, and I really like that. And I think Paul and I have talked about that a lot, too, in the past. But I think, you know, focusing on those things and instead of looking at so much, you know, what people can't do or aren't doing what we would be considering typically, I think that people on the spectrum have so much to offer that's often overlooked. And so I'm curious about your thoughts on abilities and how you approach that and what your vision was for helping the community understand that.
Again, we look at our own sons and we look at what we see them doing sort of day in and day out. And then looking at just kind of, you know, putting that together with what we know about some of the strengths of people on the autism spectrum, we think that very strong visual skills, good pattern recognition, some excellent both rote and long-term memory skills, ability to concentrate and focus, and sometimes exceptional talents with art, music, and mathematical functions all contributed to what we felt was a great skill set for working in the technology field.
That's great. So you looked at your own sons and you thought about it from that way. And so now you have, you know, some other people involved in your group. And are you finding that that's a pretty stable, like, commonality amongst the students that are enrolling in your program?
Well, just like any, this is Terry. Just like any other group of people, we have diversity within our group. And whereas we have one student who is amazing at just focus, he could sit at a computer for 8 hours and just do very accurate work. We have some other students who, you know, that's not their skill set as much, just like many other groups of people. So, but we do find that they do have similar strengths, you know, and quite a lot, but we have to, you know, also think of them as individuals and what, you know, what kind of curriculum track do they fall most, you know, easily into as far given their skills and talents. So
what kind of, do you have a screening process for that? Like people who are interested in, you know, taking some of your courses, do you have some sort of, you know, like questionnaire to see what, you know, to find out what somebody's strengths and abilities are to help them determine, you know, what's a good fit for them?
Actually we do, Kim. We're working on that. And we actually, that was part of our original kind of research into doing this. We were looking for that sort of perfect assessment tool. And we're not really aware of one that's out there, or at least that we could get our hands on. So we've been developing it as we go, as we've gotten new students and we look at what they seem to be enjoying doing and where they seem to be most comfortable. And we've had a student or two that really doesn't necessarily have an interest in the computer or necessarily have the technical skill necessary. But right now we're looking at how many hours a day a student spends on the computer, their ability to surf the web and the kind of things that they do, if they're designing websites, if they're creating music, if they're creating art on the computer. And we're looking at that and taking all of that into consideration. And that's been really helpful for us to pull in people who really do enjoy sitting in class and sitting at the computer and working on various skills. And we're continuing to work on an assessment tool to help us further define that interest as well.
That's great. So are you, I like hearing about the work in progress because I think that's a message that a lot of parents need to hear, feel good about, and understand is that, you know, things are slowly happening and it's possible to make things happen. And like with everything in life and really in autism, it is all a process. And so it's great that you're learning as you go to enhance and meet the needs of, you know, a variety of people with what abilities they have. Some of the adult clients that I work with are really good with developing software and things like that. Is that something that maybe you would foresee in the future for your program?
It depends. A lot of programs, you know, a lot of young adults, not just on the autism spectrum, are very interested in, you know, game development, app development. And we haven't actually branched into that yet, but I think that probably will be coming along the way. One of the things that we've done is actually to put out curriculum tracks for students. And that's a little different than what we've been seeing so far. A lot of places are doing mainly one thing, such as game development, software design, or animation. We're actually doing four different tracks. We're actually starting one track, which we are kind of calling an office essentials track, where we have students who are just more, really that student who's got that extreme focus, who's just extremely good at maybe data entry and perhaps even filing, doing more office work. And we have a second track that's a programming track for the students who want to learn programming skills such as Java, PHP, and may be interested in more of that kind of game development, app development, that sort of thing. We're also doing a track that's web design, working on right now on a WordPress platform. And then we're doing something that's more computer essentials, which is more of the help desk work, computer hardware, putting things together, taking things apart, because we do find that there are some students who prefer that as opposed to software development. And along with that, we're looking at some database technology, such as MySQL. So we've got a lot that we're looking at, and, you know, some people might think we're taking on too much at one time, but we're really trying to provide the opportunities for the students that they're interested in. And, again, because we're in development and in process, we'll just see how it goes. And we may have to limit what we're doing. We may expand some tracks. We're just really not sure at this point.
So do you have like some kind of protocol in terms of the tracks? Like, is there a sequence in classes, you know, like beginner, intermediate, advanced, or are you still in the stage of just sort of all beginner? Or do you have that in place yet?
Yeah, so we do have some students who come into our program knowing, you know, more than others because they maybe have done some vocational training in high school, at high school level, or at a college level even. And so we hope to kind of definitely have a place for them. At the very beginning, we started with a lower level, just a level one, we called it, because we wanted to make sure the students knew, you know, what they were supposed to know so that we could kind of track that a little bit better. So for example, we have an HTML class that we started with HTML 1. Now this summer we're doing an HTML 2 class in which they're using it more to develop, you know, actual websites. And then in the fall we'll be using the Adobe Photoshop and Java to kind of extend the capabilities of HTML. So, but then I know we'll have new students coming in, so we'll be starting a new HTML 1 class. So we're kind of getting into, you know, we've been doing it for almost a year, so we're rolling into higher levels and still maintaining the beginning level for the students who are coming in.
That's great, and it looks like Paul has a question.
Yeah. So with the broad range of skills you're trying to teach, where does the actual knowledge come from? Who's doing the teaching? Because, you know, teaching HTML, teaching computer programming, teaching Java, teaching all these various things, computer art, things like that, are these skills that you have or that you've reached out and found professionals or teachers who are willing to teach? How are you establishing what needs to be learned and to what level for each of your sort of courses, generally speaking?
Yes, we do have professionals teaching the classes, and we've been able just to network through the community and find people who are interested. Most of these are people who may have been doing some sort of adult continuing education or doing training programs for companies, and they're coming in to teach the classes. So they're very experienced at teaching a student who may just have a beginning level of understanding, and then they also have the ability to teach students who have more experience as well. And what we're doing right now, we do not offer certifications at this point, but as, again, because the students coming in, you know, have a varying degree of experience and also interest, and frankly, they may not be comfortable in a college setting or, for instance, a community college setting taking something that's maybe very similar to what we're offering, but they're very comfortable in the environment that we have. Looking forward, we're hoping to form partnerships with a local community college so that if we have a student who wants to get to go on and get degree credit or who would be interested in perhaps sitting for some kind of online certification, that we can support them in that as well.
So Terry and Becky, either one can answer this. This is Dave. You just explained that, yeah, you're trying to have another step into the college market. How about the workplace? Is part of the game plan to teach these skills and then have your students easily transition into the marketplace for jobs, for works? Or is it, or do you have other more important needs that this that you're providing your students?
Yeah, you know, that's one of our driving questions when we formed this. We were like, okay, so is this going to be kind of a, we just a training company, and then we put them, you know, with support into a business environment, or we work through our state voc rehab office who does on-the-job coaching, but yet with our input, or, you know, do we train our students, and then we become a company that offers contractual services with businesses. And so we, you know, have been kind of leaning into both. We know that we will have students who will want to work in an outside business environment, and so we are, you know, pursuing their best interest, whatever that looks like for them and whatever they're capable of and feel comfortable with. But on the other hand, our board is really, like, interested in the idea that, you know, we also bring in some money so that when, as we're learning and as we're growing in our skills, our students, you know, our company portfolio develops and increases as our students' skills and portfolio develops. So that might look like a student is an employee or a subcontractor for Encircle, and we just help them, like, you know, contract with work that's out there and help do some project management and things like that. So, you know, as you can tell, that our company is really, like, you know, as parents and as forming this, we're taking all kinds of knowledge and cues from our board and from the business community, but we're also kind of just seeing, you know, what is the best place for these students as we're getting them, and, you know, and what skills can we develop that's going to look like products either for our company or for them as entrepreneurs, you know, or for them to be to use in a workplace environment, you know,
and
primary function, training them. Yeah.
I have another question, but first I think it's time for us to take a quick break, and then we'll be back to talk a little more about Encircle and how they're helping people on the spectrum. So we'll be back after a few short commercials.
Money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
Ridenour, Heinsohn & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues, corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Heinsohn & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl.com.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Understanding Autism, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network, live here at the Regis Suites in Phoenix, Arizona, a very hot Phoenix, Arizona, I might add. And I'm Dave Isaac alongside Paul Loudon and Kimberly Isaac in Chandler. Our guests today, Becky and Terry from Encircle Technologies, very interesting, very important in helping those on the spectrum to develop skills and I suspect to find their passion as well. Terry and Becky, I know Paul has a question. Let me just ask you this real quick. Is it also about identifying passions for your students?
Yeah, it really is, because, you know, if a student doesn't want to do coding, you know, and they just don't find any joy in it, they're not going to probably, first of all, even do it, or second of all, enjoy it. A lot of our students are very honest about what they like and what they don't like, and so we want to try to help them figure out, you know, which area in technology fits your interests and skills. And, you know, my son's interest is in music and music technology, and he loves that. He loves that. And so we don't really offer music technology, you know, in our curriculum, but we do offer things that can help him, like, develop, you know, that skill more. And as a hobby, you know, he can learn programming techniques or web page development to sell his music or whatever. And so even though that's his passion and we're tapping into that, we're also saying, what are some practical skills that you can learn, you know, either to support the hobby and either, you know, putting it out there on the Internet, or support it by having a job that you get paid well and then you're able to do your other hobbies. So, but yes, within the curriculum itself, there are, like, you know, creative areas, and then there are other areas that are not so creative, and some might consider to be, you know, too dull, but some would enjoy thoroughly. So yeah, we have our eyes and ears open a lot with our students, and we're learning so much from them about, you know, who they are as individuals and what's going to work best for them as far as higher skilled work.
So I wanted to ask a little bit about how the actual educational process worked. We've covered sort of who you're doing this for, what's going on, but I wanted to ask a little bit about how. Is it a case of just having the much smaller classes gives you the opportunity for personalized pacing and personalized interest from the teacher, or are there other methods involved that are really making this applicable to helping those on the spectrum learn these skills?
We have, it's a very small classroom. We've tried to be very cognizant of people's sensory issues, if there in fact are any. And for my son, there are issues. We've really tried to work with our instructors in terms of learning style. We like to use so-called universal design for learning, in that we have the visual presentation, we have hands-on presentations, we have talking if talking is important. We have video demonstration. We have right now we're looking at students that might need more individual instruction, and we have one of the local university. We have a student working with us this summer who's, you know, walking around, seeing who needs help, seeing what can be done for each student to make sure they're getting the most out of their time and experience. Our classes run about 60 minutes, and then we have a break. This summer we're going from 9:30 in the morning till 4:00 in the afternoon with break for lunch, and that we're finding that to be a little bit of a long day for the students. So in the fall we're going to be breaking that up as well. So we're just really trying to, and we're asking the students for feedback. You know, what's working for you, what isn't, so that we can modify the program as we go.
You know, earlier you both communicated a statement. You said you talk about what you can do, not what you can't do. And I really like that. That's sort of an abstraction, but it's also a focus. How do you teach your students to only focus on what they can do, not what they can't do? Because oftentimes, depending on self-esteem issues and other filters, you know, people have a natural style. Sometimes they may have grown up only looking at what they can't do. How do you break them, not break them, but how do you change their beliefs in that area?
So that's a really good question. You know, sometimes students will come to us at the initial interview, and they will be so, like, beaten up. You know, they've just had struggles. They've heard the word can't. They've heard the word disorder. They've heard the word disability, you know, words with the prefix BIS in it. And so we just really try to give them hope, which engenders, you know, something in their spirit that's a little bit different than sometimes what they've encountered. And so through that, you know, we, during our day at class, we just try to affirm them and what they can do. And we, you know, put that in front of them all the time. We do a soft skills class in which we do, you know, team building and, you know, communication issues and, you know, things that kind of give them a sense that they belong and that they're a person, you know, who's being listened to by the instructors, and they've got worthy things to say. You know, we also kind of do some pull-out counseling if we hear that, so that we can help them, like, realize that this is not a place that, you know, that's going to beat them up at all. This is a place where, you know, they are accepted and all of that. And, you know, we've been working on their resume right now during one of our professional development classes, which is taught by a group of human resource professionals here in town, but they've donated their time. And, you know, so that's been really good, too, because they've helped them, like, identify those strengths and just, you know, just claim them instead of saying, but I have all these challenges. But, no, you have all these strengths, too. So, you know, it's just an environment that we want to create to give them a lot of dignity and feelings that they can do things, you know, that they're very talented individuals. So, you know, our language is one of total acceptance and inclusion, because that's what we are about. That's what we want for our sons. I think that's what helps us being parents as well, is that, you know, we've been there in the pits with them as far as, you know, some of their depression and anxiety about, you know, some of the challenges of autism or the labels or whatever, you know. And so we know that they have that, and they need to be treated and spoken about in ways that help them believe in themselves. So that's something that we're very passionate about.
Now, in addition to that, a follow-up question, I think that's great, you know, to have that type of support system. Now, since they're not there 24/7 and they go back either home to their parents or caregivers, do you have some type of system to engage the parents or the caregivers to also to participate in supporting your philosophy? Any training for parents, et cetera, or any way to encourage the parents and the caregivers to change those beliefs like we talked about? Look and focus at I can versus I can't.
Well, there are a couple of things that we do. First of all, we basically have a quarterly parent meeting so that the parents of our students are engaged in what's happening with the students in the classroom and can give us feedback on what they see and what their needs are. We also have a support group that we run every month, and that's not just for our students, but for any parents of primarily, you know, young adults on the autism spectrum. So we talk about those kind of issues. And as part of our process of getting the word out about who we are and what we're doing, we've actually been doing some presentations in front of groups. We did one last week with a group of social workers in town, and we've met with some of the support agencies in town and talked a little bit about our philosophy and what it is that we're trying to do as well.
Yeah, thank you. It sounds like a great and supportive environment. Let's take our final break, and when we come back, we'll continue our discussion with Becky, Terry, Paul, and Kimberly on most interesting school in Circle Technologies, and we're talking about how to help kids with school self-esteem, really, too, and having a good future. That's how I actually look at this, and this is Understanding Autism live here in Phoenix, and we'll be right back.
Beerham Baum and Spean PC, we want to help you work on your business, not in your business. We take a simple approach. You know your business. Our firm gives you the information to make those decisions better. Our firm takes a proactive approach to your accounting needs, and if you look behind the numbers, you'll find there are hidden opportunities that we try to impart on you. Communication is the key to that understanding, and there is no charge for brief phone calls. Contact us at 602-266-5633 or email us at mitch@jfbpc.com. Beerham Baum and Spean works to increase your understanding of your business in order to make the decisions necessary to move your business forward.
Ridenour, Heitzen & Lewis is a multi-practice law firm, ideally equipped to assist with a broad range of legal and business issues in corporate and financial transactions, real estate, commercial, litigation, bankruptcy, and private client practice. Ridenour, Heitzen & Lewis is a law firm that bases its practice on understanding the businesses of their clients, and they use this insight to meet each client's unique and evolving legal challenges. Call or click today, 602-254-9900. Find them on the web at rhkl-law.com.
Do you owe money to the IRS? Have you heard of possible payment options such as a partial payment installment agreement, offering compromise, or not currently collectible status? Knowing that you have options and what those options are will greatly relieve your worry and stress. Hi, my name is Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor. If you are curious as to what options may be available to you if you owe money to the IRS, my 25 years experience as a CPA may very well help you in these times of uncertainty. Stop worrying and start learning about what options you have. If you just want to talk to someone about your IRS debt or want specific advice, I invite you to call me at 602-625-3074. That is 602-625-3074. And when you call, ask for me, Dave Isaac, CPA and former government tax auditor.
And welcome back again. You're listening to Understanding Autism live here in Phoenix, Arizona, brought to you by the Breakthrough Thinking Broadcasting Network. I'm Dave Isaac alongside Paul Loudon, Tim Isaac, and we're speaking to Becky and Terry from Encircle Technologies. And, Kim, I think you have a few more questions you still want to ask. And, Kim, are you there? All
I was
right.
just wondering, in terms of community support. Oh, can you hear me? Okay.
Yeah, now we can.
I was just wondering. You got me. Okay. I was just wondering, in terms of community support. I mean, I know that. I'm just curious as far as funding and how communities can support your organization, or just getting ideas in other cities. How are you funded, and what kinds of things are you doing to keep yourselves up and running?
We do charge tuition to the students, and that basically just covers the cost of our instructors and a small administrative fee for our facility. But we are very happy to say that we just got our 501c3 status as a nonprofit. And starting on July the 17th, we are kicking off an Indiegogo campaign where we're hoping to raise $20,000. If any of your listeners are interested, you can check out our Facebook page at Encircle Tech. And we were having a little trouble with our website earlier today, but we now have it up and running. And you can find us at encircletech.org, where we have a button to donate and pledge to our cause. And also, you can email us, either Terry or I, at encircletech@gmail.com.
Okay, and then I had one other question. I was just curious about, I guess, coming from my perspective, you know, being in the field and thinking about, you know, quality of life, and you're targeting so many important aspects of that. What are the social aspects of your organization amongst the students? I mean, do they have opportunities to, you know, like develop friendships or, you know, engage in different activities and things like that?
Yeah, Kim, it's really exciting to watch them, and it, you know, it just gives me joy as a parent, you know, because I know that a lot of times that, you know, a group is hard to find, you know, for these individuals. And so definitely during our class, there's lots of talking just like a normal group of social people to each other, and sharing like, hey, what are you doing over there? And, you know, then sometimes you'll hear like talk about Pokemon or the Avengers or, you know, cool things that they know about that they're interested in. And we do have some social activities that we're just kind of getting into those. You know, we had a planned student activity to watch a movie last semester. Unfortunately, it kind of fell through at the last moment just because of a lack of attendance. But, you know, we want to build that more and more and more. But definitely the time that they are spending together is, you know, is great. And they're learning to get along and just kind of get to know one another. And, yeah, we hope that those connections will go outside of InCircle, and, you know, that, you know, if we need to be sometimes the prompt for that, like, hey, why don't you guys get together to go to see a movie? You know, if that's not naturally happening, then, you know, we want to keep our eyes open for that opportunity too, as well as more and more planned activities as we go forward. They may be doing a Nerf gun fundraiser, which several of the students are really like excited about, and so that will turn into, you know, a joint thing of raising funds and just having a ton of fun.
Now, Terry and Becky, you said you were open less than 1 year. What have you learned that you didn't even think of during this year since you've been open? There must be some surprises, you know, maybe good or bad, something you've learned either about yourself or about students, about autism, that you never thought of. But since opening the school, maybe you've come to realize other things.
Well, I mean, one thing that I think Terry and I have learned to figure out what our individual strengths and weaknesses are, and how to work together to get this accomplished. And I think, you know, for me at least, that's helped me look at everybody a little bit differently, to find out what their strengths and weaknesses are kind of going forward. We learned a lot about people outside of our world of autism, because as parents, we do tend to kind of live in this world, and it's what we think about a lot. But getting involved in the business community and getting involved with people who don't have our experience has just really been interesting to see how supportive people are and how interested people are. And I personally hadn't actually thought of that prior to this, and that we, in fact, we are one big community. And that's been really, really affirming and very helpful, I think.
And Terry, same question for you.
I've learned that, you know, that if you're a parent that sees that there's just nothing that's created that's, you know, that meets the needs that are out there that you know about and that you know other parents are talking about, that you can actually create something that you can just, you know, build it and they will come kind of thing. But, you know, you don't have to sit as a passive parent, like waiting for some government institution or some, you know, research autism institution to do something, because a lot of times, you know, there are different roles that different organizations fulfill. But if you see that there's something that, you know, it's just not serving your son or daughter in the way that you think would be good for them, and not just for them, but for the general population, that you can actually, you know, do something about it and create something, and that the pieces will just kind of fall into place to help us along. But, you know, don't get me wrong, this is extremely hard work, and we put in many, many, many hours and, you know, devote ourselves and most of our work lives to this. And so you can build it, but you also have to be committed. And so I've enjoyed both of those aspects because I'm really driven by the mission of this, and I'm very stubborn. You know, I want this to work out because I know that from what I've seen from our students, that this is a space and place that just wasn't there before. You know, they know skills that they just didn't know before. They are encountering some hope in a future work life that just wasn't there before. So it's real and it's meaningful. And I've just, you know, I'm very happy to be part of it.
Well, it's really been an honor and a pleasure having you on Understanding Autism, both Becky, you and Terry, Encircle Technologies. Why don't you give your website out again and any contact information, because we're here to support, to help you, and hopefully you can maybe get some contributions or some type of support from our listeners. So once again, your website and Facebook.
We are encircletech.org. That's encircletech.org. You can just check us out on Facebook, which again is Encircle Technology, or facebook.com/encircletech. We're on Twitter at encircletech, and our email is encircletech@gmail.com.
And Kim?
Becky and Terry, thank you so much for being with us on the show. And, you know, we're going to post your information on our Facebook page as well. And just thank you for taking the time. First of all, thank you for, you know, inspiring other parents. Again, my perspective is just I see parents all the time who feel very stuck and feel like there's nothing for their kids. And so it's inspiring. People can see, you know, Terry, as you were just saying, that you can create something, that you can do something, that you can do something to enhance the quality of your child's life, and that people respond, you know. So I think that's very inspirational for a lot of the parents that I know, and just want to thank you for all the hard work you're doing for the community.
Well, we really appreciate your having us. Thanks, Kim.
You're welcome.
Thank you once again.
Thank you very much. I appreciate it, too. This is Terry, and I thank you for this opportunity, and hope you check us out on the web.
And thank you, and this is Understanding Autism, live from Regis Suites in Phoenix. We'll be on next Monday from 3 to 4, which is July 14th. Stay tuned for that. Everyone have a great night. Signing off.